During these Sundays in the season of Advent, I've been exploring the biblical insights that can be found in the beloved Christmas carol, Silent Night. And as I said at the outset of the service, Silent Night is turning 200 years old tomorrow night, since it was composed and first sung on Christmas Eve in the year 1818. Well, this week we turn to the fourth verse of the carol, which is printed in today's bulletin right below the sermon title. And while we're not singing the carol until Christmas Eve, join me in saying the words of that fourth verse. And I would suggest that we speak in the voice you would use if baby Eloise were here with us this morning. Silent night, holy night. Wondrous star, lend thy light. With the angels, let us sing Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. With the angels, let us sing Alleluia to our King. Doesn't that sound sweet? Lovely. Charming, innocent. But if anyone popping in for a visit to the Holy Family, I mean shepherds, wise men, if anyone had suggested that they wanted to address the infant by singing Alleluias to the cute little king in the crib, if they suggested that, they would have been stirring up a big pot of trouble. To understand why singing Alleluias to our King would have been bad, let's start by confirming what Alleluia actually means. And actually, let's start with a similar word, Hallelujah, like in the chorus. That starts with the letter H. That Hebrew word, Hallelujah, means praise the Lord. When the Hebrew word hallelujah is translated using the letters of the Greek alphabet, it's pronounced alleluia, beginning with the letter A. But whether you say the Hebrew form hallelujah or the Greek or Latin form alleluia, they mean the same thing. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, it's a wonderful thing to sing praise to the Lord, to sing alleluia. But back in the days when Jesus was born, if you were offering praise to a king, you were offering it to Herod. The Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus had appointed Herod to govern this corner of the Roman Empire, this land populated by the Jewish people. Herod's title was not president or prime minister or governor. Herod was declared to be the king of this region known as Judea. Herod was the king of the Jews. Now, picture some well-meaning foreigners, wise astrologers from the east, who traveled from afar to the region of Judea. They paid a courtesy call on the local monarch, King Herod, and based on their interpretation of astrological signs that they had perceived, they asked what seemed to be the obvious question. They asked Herod, "Where will we find the newborn king of the Jews?" Herod's reaction was not, "Oh good, finally there is a succession plan so I can start preparing for retirement." No, when he was asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" paranoid, power-hungry, tyrannical Herod immediately launched into high alert mode. A threat to the throne had been revealed. Somewhere, some baby was being groomed to challenge Herod's dominance. And if people were singing alleluias to a king, and that king wasn't Herod, then Herod had to act swiftly, with brutal certainty, to maintain his power, his domination, his control, his reign of fear that kept people in line and kept him in power. So now we see how something seemingly as innocent as singing sweet lullaby alleluias to a newborn king was actually a bold statement of faith. Singing praises to the infant Jesus signaled allegiance with God's power, not with worldly power. Singing alleluias to an infant king would be taken by Herod as a treasonous act threatening his control, his dominion. It would undermine his subjugation of the Jewish people through intimidation and through ruthless violence. And for Herod, that's what the birth of Jesus meant. But from the people's perspective, the birth of Jesus announced the blessing of living out of hope and not out of fear. This blessing was the hope that the prophets had envisioned for ages. They had written that the arrival of God's Savior would be like a people who had been walking in darkness, suddenly seeing a great light. They envisioned life shaped not by fear, but by love and compassion, by mercy, by forgiveness. For the first time ever, they could imagine being liberated from the reign of fear carried out by Herod in Judea and elsewhere by other power-crazed dictators. They could imagine that life did not have to consist only of being ignored or taken advantage of, being treated cruelly, held back brutally, being viewed with disdain by the few in power. How could they help but sing alleluias to their newborn king? And what about us? Aren't there powers that we need to be liberated from? There may be expectations that weigh on us so heavily, forces that seem to hold us back or hold us down, mindsets that imprison our thinking, conditions that we contend with that limit our ability to enjoy the creativity and the fellowship and the personal fulfillment that life could offer us. For some, those powers, those forces, well, for some, it's the almighty dollar or perfectionism, the pressure for upward mobility. For some, it could be an abusive spouse, an unforgiving relationship, the rejection of family. For some, it's the addiction to material possessions as an attempt to numb the fear. For some, it's chronic or severe illness. For some, it's the loss of a job or the fear of being put out of work. Many people today live largely in fear. They live in fear of violence, perhaps on a very personal level or on the local scene or maybe on the international stage. They live in fear of economic downturns in the national economy and in their own household. But in Jesus, God has shown us that we are not at the mercy of fearful powers. In living among us in Jesus of Nazareth, God has shown us a new way of lording over humankind. A way of ruling our lives that is not founded in fear, but is lavish in love. In Jesus, we discover that God lifts us up with hope, opens our eyes to see joy, confronts us, comforts us with forgiveness, consoles us with mercy, encourages us to embrace the world with love. Because of the birth of Jesus in our lives, we realize that we need not resort to an every man for himself survival mode. Because God has our best interests at heart. We can care about the needs and desires of others as well as for ourselves. For this reason, the prophet Isaiah declared, "You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice with what you have done. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us." That carol that we've been studying throughout Advent proclaims, "Wondrous star, lend thy light." That Bethlehem star guided the wise men and thus the world to discover Jesus. Now Jesus is a star shining amid life's darkness to guide the world to God. That's why we join with the host of heaven to sing Alleluia to our King. Praise the Lord who came to live among us and now to live within us in Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. Amen. Amen.